Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. I'm glad to be with you this morning. And thanks for leaving your radio on just for a little bit extra or for actually tuning in. This is my birthday month. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm just turning 65. I am a Medicare recipient now. I threw away my other insurance cards. I guess now, every time I go to a different doctor or go to the pharmacy, I'm going to have to tell them, hey, I'm on the dole now. I am a part of the aged generation, the ones that the young people resent. You know, I'm just really glad that they keep contributing their share of Social Security dollars so that we can in turn take it out of the bankrupt Social Security account. I think that's a wonderful thing, don't you? Even though I'm not drawing yet. I haven't decided exactly how to handle the timing on that. Probably going to wait since I still have a job. These young people haven't run me off yet from the dealership. So I'm still here to save you money and make a car buying experience a wonderful one. We sold a vehicle to a lady from Illinois. And I think I mentioned this last week. I've got a good buddy of mine who used to work for me, who goes hunting over there on a regular basis, and was able to hook up with a very well-known farmer over there who his network was quite wide. He included a lot of folks, lots of family. And my buddy has sold over 150 vehicles over there. And he doesn't even live there in Illinois. Well, now they've come to me because they want Fords. And Gary, who used to work for me, was kind enough to direct him to me. So I sold this one guy a new Ford, ordered it for him, and then I got a phone call and a email from a friend of his that is a widow, and she reached out because she wants a new Ford Explorer. Never met her. No contact whatsoever, except she knows and trusts this other guy who's buying a car in Tennessee, the far eastern side of Tennessee, about as far in Tennessee as you can get from Illinois. And so she's going to order her new Ford Explorer. She says, well, I trust Beecher, and that's the guy's name, is Beecher Williams. I trust Beecher, and if you're good enough for Beecher, you're good enough for me. And I said, well, you know, I really appreciate that. So we've got her a new Ford Explorer ordered. And what he does with those folks is they meet, they drive from Illinois to Nashville, and then we drive from Greenville to Nashville and meet there at the Bass Pro Shops and swap dollars and cars and keys and stuff and then head back to our homes. So it works out pretty well. We've been doing a lot of deliveries lately. You know, throughout the pandemic, we did that. People didn't want to come to the dealership and transact. So we accommodated them. And now more and more people are shopping from home and taking advantage of the Amazon, you know, the Amazon experience. With a car, it's a little bit more complicated. You just have to trust, I guess, the fact that if you don't drive something and you don't really look at it and walk around it and stuff, if you buy something totally online, it's very possible you won't like it, you know, after you get in it. That's why I'm not a fan. You know, if I go to a store to try on some clothing or to buy some clothing, I want to try it on. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but they're making clothes for younger people now. I mean, I'm the guy that ever since college wore pleated pants, and pleated pants are apparently not cool anymore. Matter of fact, I had pleated pants, and then the cuffs were actually turned up. They had actual cuffs on them instead of, you know what I'm saying. I had little cuffs put on them. That was the style back when I was in college, and I just kind of stuck with it until my daughter said, Dad, no, stop it. Stop ordering pants. You need plain front and straight cuffs. You don't need them, you know, you don't need to put little cuffs on the end of your britches. So I stopped. It's amazing what a little ridicule will do to change your viewpoint. Okay, enough talk about my pants. Let's talk about cars. You want to? I do want to get in a little bit about how dealerships are having to adapt to the shortage of new vehicles. One of the things that most dealerships have started doing, and I'm sure you've noticed this, are dealers advertising to buy your vehicle. Now, this is nothing new. We've always done curb purchases. CarMax really started promoting this first, where, you know, we will buy your vehicle. And a lot of folks jumped on the bandwagon and started selling their vehicles to CarMax. Well, CarMax would in turn kind of go through that inventory and see what they wanted to keep and what they didn't. And what they didn't, they would have auctions. So CarMax started their own closed auctions for car dealers. And we used to go down and buy a lot of their rejects. And they were rejected. We really couldn't tell why, because most of the vehicles that we bought were in good condition and, nice late model trade-ins. And plus, they had a guarantee if there was a problem with them, we could take them back. So that's a pretty good money-back guarantee on a car. We actually participate in a program that allows us to take cars back at Manheim Auctions. That's the largest auction company in the world. It all started in Manheim, Pennsylvania. And so they have become ginormous. The auction that we go to, that's really big, if you didn't know what ginormous is. Nashville is a big auction, big Manheim auction. Atlanta, Statesville, North Carolina. And those are the primary ones we go to. They are just all over the place. They are ubiquitous. I love that word. So if somebody's wanting to buy a car that we don't have in stock, many times we go to something called Manheim Online. There are other sources. We go to Hertz. Hertz has a lot of cars. I just got a list yesterday from the Hertz rental car company of vehicles that they are making available. You just really don't know what you're getting, and that's why they sell insurance. And if the cars do not meet their requirement or their commitment as far as condition, then you can just tell them, we don't want it, come and get it. And that's pretty good. That's a good, interesting offer. But if you are selling your car to an individual, you don't want to give them a money-back guarantee, do you? I mean, if you misled them in some way, of course you would, wouldn't you? But if you didn't and there was some kind of problem, they just didn't like it for some reason, you'd probably tell them, well, tough. You know, you bought it. Bought it 3 weeks ago. What do you want me to do? We're not Carvana, you know. So that's why it's sometimes better if you can just go to a dealership and sell your vehicle to them, either them or CarMax or somebody like that that can just write you a check and be done with it. There are issues sometimes with titles that can get delayed. It's kind of hard to sell your car if you don't have a title. So if you have a lien on your vehicle, it can still be done. It's just handled differently, and we'll talk about that after the break. Also want to talk a little bit about leasing right now and leasing versus buying. This is all information from the Guru School of Defensive Car Buying. It's important to be able to understand the different options that are out there, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. So can you sell your car to somebody or to a dealer or to, you know, CarMax or anybody like that if you have a lien on your car? Well, yes, you can. Of course, having a lien on your car means you owe money on it. And you have to satisfy that lien, which means that you have to pay it off. So what you do is you get something called a 10-day payoff, because sometimes it takes a little while for the check to clear. Sometimes the banks, if you pay off a loan early, they will not credit you for a couple weeks. And sometimes in some banks, it's 30 days before they will actually release the title. I think that's more of an administrative ripoff, if you don't mind my saying. But that's the way some of them play the game. That's why I like dealing with local banks and credit unions and stuff, because they'll get you your money. And now if you get them a certified check, then they'll probably release the title immediately. But when you're selling a car, they want the title. You can give them a bill of sale, and you can give them the car. That's pretty good security. But they have to understand that they're not going to get the title until, you know, the bank releases the title. So what you do is typically the buyer will write you a check for your portion, and they'll write another check and not give it to you, but they'll want to give it directly to the bank that has the loan. Because they may write you a check for the whole car, and you just, you know, go to Cabo San Lucas. Is that what it's called down in Mexico? Yeah, I think so, Cabo. Or to Cozumel, someplace exotic, you know, with the money and just never come back. Most people aren't going to do that, but still, there's that possibility that you would get ripped off. So you have to cover the bases, so to speak. Now, let's talk about leases, for example. So if you have a lease, you know, it has a payoff, just like a purchase does. You have to call the lease company and find out, you know, what the remaining balance is, and then you can pay that off. What you have to keep in mind is that on a lease, the sales tax has not been paid on the full purchase price of the vehicle. When you lease a car, you've been paying sales tax on the monthly payments. It's one of the advantages of a lease, is that you only pay sales tax on the monthly payment. You don't pay sales tax on the entire purchase price. So if you decide to buy out the lease and sell it to somebody, that sales tax has got to get paid, and they're going to charge you that. So please take that into account. You know, you're talking around 7.5% of the sale price, the remaining sale price of what it will take to pay that thing off. Now, if a dealer buys out your lease, he doesn't have to pay sales tax, because we have a sales tax resale certificate with the state of Tennessee, and we're buying everything for resale, so we don't have to pay sales tax. It's the people that buy them from us have to pay sales tax. So call the lease company, get a payoff, including sales tax, and then you have a number, and that's what you can sell the car for to somebody else. You can sell it to a dealer for less the sales tax, as I said. Now, sometimes, since it's a lease to a particular company, like, I don't know, Toyota Motor Credit or Ford Motor Credit, a lot of that transaction has to happen at the dealership. So make sure that you understand what the requirements are. This isn't going to happen a lot, but it does happen some. People want to get out of a lease. Can somebody just take over your lease and start making the payments for you? No, that is not allowable. They will not allow you to sublease a lease car. I've never heard of any financial institution that would be willing to do that. I may be wrong. There might be one or two out there that might let somebody take over a lease, but typically that's not going to happen. You know, you let a lease car go back, it's just like letting a, you know, as far as a repo is concerned, that's just like defaulting on a regular car loan. So that's a no-no. And I have heard of some dealers that when you go in to trade cars with them, if you're way upside down, meaning that you owe a lot more on your vehicle than what it's worth or they're willing to give you, I've heard some unscrupulous salespeople say, I tell you what, just let it go back and then we'll sell you this other car and everything will be good. Well, it might be good for about 60 days. And then when you get the collection letter and they repo the car and it goes against your credit, they will take your car that you let go back to the auction, sell it. Any deficiency between what they sold the car for and what you owed on the car, let's say it's $5,000, $6,000, they will sue you for that. And if you don't pay it, then they will garnish your wages or force you into bankruptcy or whatever. So there's all kinds of things that can happen if you let a car go back, just thinking that, I just don't want to pay for it. It's just a lease car. I'll just let it go back. Doesn't work that way. There's been a lot of people fooled into thinking that. I tell you where you have to watch out that for that the most. There are these roving troops of salespeople that will go to work for a dealership on a temporary basis, maybe a couple weeks. They have a special direct mail event. And so, you know, when they'll take the showroom and they'll stick stickers all over the windows, and they'll use like police tape all over the place. They really dress up the lot. Looks like it's some type of distressed sale, like the federal marshals have taken over and they're liquidating inventory. And anytime they use the word liquidation, that is an illegal trigger term with the Motor Vehicle Commission. You're not allowed to say that, but dealers do. And they make it sound like, you know, they're going out of business. When they're really not. And then they have these nomads that come in and their salespeople from all over the country fly in and work for these companies that will have these special event sales. And then those are the salespeople, and I'm telling you, they will say anything to sell a car because they don't have to face the consequences when you come back all mad, you know, because what they said didn't happen. Those are the guys and the gals that will say, just let this thing go back. Just let it go back, and then this one will go away, and you can buy ours, and all will be good. All will not be good because it will not end up well for you. And then you go back into the dealership, and they have to end up dealing with the promises that those people made. So just, you know, something to watch out for. You know, all dealers decorate their lots with balloons and streamers and stuff like that. But you can tell when they're having a special event sale and they send out those mailers where you've won a trip to Cancun, a big screen TV, $25,000 in cash, or up to $1,000 in cash. You know what that up to $1,000 in cash is? That's a $1,000 lottery ticket that you've either won from $1 to $1,000, and guess what you probably won? That's right, $1. But it got you in there, and then they're able to bring the pressure to bear with those nomadic salespeople. So just kind of watch out for that. There's a few dealers in the Tri-Cities that do that a lot. And they're the ones screaming the loudest on the radio. You know the ones I'm talking about. They're also the ones that say, you can buy today regardless of your credit. Yeah, right. You know, if you've got bad credit, it's going to affect a lot of things. And so just watch out for that. You know, anytime you have a group like that that comes in, they are going to use all measures possible. Truth be you know what. The truth is the farthest thing from their minds, and it's really easy to get to fall into that trap. And they know how to bring the pressure. They've done it, and then they'll go on to the next sale event that they have in another city with more victims. It's kind of like the fair, you know, when the fair comes to town. You know, when you gamble and see if you can throw the little ring on the Coke bottle, there's a lot more throws than there are winners. And so, you know, that works out to their advantage. We'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, I have cautioned people for years about any time that a dealership tries to convert you from a purchase payment to a lease to watch out. Keep your eyes open. What you're looking for, you know, when you buy a car, you're looking at the selling price, how much they're giving you for your trade-in, and you subtract those two, and you have the trade difference, right? Well, sometimes on a lease, you can still trade a car on a lease, but basically you're just buying the lease payment down. Basically, they're giving you, say, $10,000 for your car, and you're using that to reduce the monthly payment. You know, I recommend to folks to really don't pay much down on a lease. It just doesn't make sense. But all you're doing is prepaying payments when you pay money down on a lease. It will reduce the monthly payment that you have. But, you know, when I'm talking to folks and they have a nice trade-in, I say, listen, why don't I just buy your trade-in from you? You don't have to put it in on the lease. Then you can take that trade value and go put it on your house, you know, pay, you know, add a new porch to your house or pay off a high interest rate credit card or something like that. You can free up some cash if you have, you know, a paid-for trade-in, or even if you don't, if you have some equity. Now, sometimes they will take people who are upside down in their trade-in, they owe more on it than it's worth, and roll them into a lease. But goodness, folks, if you do that, be sure that whatever that lease term is, that you intend to keep that car that long, because if you try to get out early, it's going to be very costly to do that. I recommend when folks are leasing, never lease a car for a longer term than you intend on keeping it, because the payoff stays really high, and it's harder to get out of a lease. Now, I'm a fan of leasing. I would not hesitate to lease a car, but you have to watch it. If they convert you from a payment or purchase to a lease, make sure that they are using the same sales price figure. Now, on a purchase, it's called the selling price. On a lease, it's called the capitalized cost or cap cost. Make sure that those two numbers are the same, because many times the unscrupulous dealer will jack up the capitalized cost over and above what they were selling you the car for, and you don't know the difference because they don't have to disclose the capitalized cost. But if you ask them, then they will. So just make sure we're starting from the same point, that you're getting the same amount of money for your trade-in, and then you can make a call as whether you want that lower lease payment and maybe for a 36-month term, as opposed to getting into a 72-month contract where, you know, if the used car market stayed like it is now, then that wouldn't be an issue because cars really aren't depreciating much right now. But if the market goes back to the normal way it works, which it will, I think it'll be about 8 months to a year before it does. But there's going to be a day when everything's going to change, and I just hope it doesn't change too rapidly where cars depreciate. I mean, it just like falls off of a cliff. What's going to control that is the availability of new cars. And if you start seeing a bunch of reports that the chip shortage is getting a lot better and that all of a sudden, you know, they're going to start be able to manufacture all these vehicles, then look out. Might be a good time to trade before that actually does go over the Niagara Falls, because it will at some point in the future. Like I say, I just hope it's not too dramatic. Well, if you have any questions about how all this stuff works, you're getting ready to buy a car, getting ready to lease something, having some type of a service problem, I'm available. You know, I don't know you. I know a lot of you out there because you've come to see me and bought cars from me, but you don't have to know me. All you have to do is call, and I'll shoot you straight. I'm a Ford dealer. I've been in the business for, 44 years now, and if you have a question about the car business, I probably know the answer. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020. Regardless of what you're trying to buy, I'll be glad to help you. So that's this edition of My Car Guru, and we'll see you tomorrow.